This is an Ant Podcast Management production. Hello and welcome to What the Faux Travel Podcast. I'm Amy.
And I'm Nick. We've been together since 2008.
And instead of saving for our future, we spent all our money on travelling.
What is a pension and should I have one?
Strap in as we take you on adventures around the world.
From the high mountaintops to reporting from under the deep blue.
There isn't anywhere we won't take you.
Where are we off to today, Amy?
Today, we're off to Austria. Hello and welcome to What the Faux Travel Podcast with Nick and Amy.
Welcome back. Hello, everyone, to part two of our Austria episode. Now, if you haven't heard part one, this is what you've missed. Whoa, that's so good.
Life in Vienna is wonderful.
Gustav Klimt and Egon Schneil.
Yeah, I think if I took this test maybe 10 years ago, it would have said, oh my God, go to therapy right now. You have the most daddy issues ever. For this episode, part two, we are heading into the mountains. Now, we brought shout outs and hate mail back for the last episode. Do we have any more this week?
We got some shout outs. It was nice to do it again for the last episode. I feel like it's always good to have a two-way conversation going with our audience. No hate mail, though. Which I'm disappointed about.
We kind of prefer the hate mail.
It's
although I
so
shouldn't say
fun.
That because then we'll get more hate mail. But
it's so much fun. We heard from Frankie Kaur, K-H-O-R, Kaur. Great name. Frankie said, love the podcast and I'm planning a trip around South America. Now, Frankie didn't say if we've actually inspired this trip. But let's say, Frankie says, because of you guys, I'm traveling around South America.
Is Frankie even real?
It sounds like I'm making this up. Thank you very much, Frankie Kaur, for getting in touch. I hope your trip around South America goes well. As you know, it's our favorite continent.
Yeah, we do love a bit of Sudamerica.
We also heard from Alan Baxter. This is a good message. Alan said, love the podcast and enjoyed the DNA episodes in particular. Alan just listened to both of them whilst traveling on a boat in the Philippines.
Oh, that's nice.
I love knowing where our listeners are, what they're doing when they're listening. And on a boat in the Philippines, that's perfect.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Like over the years, all the messages that we've received, it's so nice when you tell us, like, we've had so many where they're like on long bus journeys or train journeys, like that one on a boat. Tell us what transport you're on. It is very good for us to picture.
Yeah,
you
know, I love it.
You listening. Yeah, great. Love it. Thank you for that. And also a great way to seg into the DNA episode, because do you know what? Looking at the numbers, the DNA one isn't getting as much love. And I'm a bit confused as to why. I think maybe we need to change the title of it, because it honestly has actually been a highlight of this podcast for me. Like, it's an episode that we've been meaning to record for years and years and never got round to it. We were so shocked in what we found out about ourselves. Like, Nick isn't even English.
It was fascinating. And it took us on an adventure to different countries, didn't it?
It did.
And yeah, we really got to know ourselves and our past. And there was a lot of surprises.
So yeah, basically, go listen to the DNA episodes if you haven't done so already. Please. Right, let's talk about Austria.
We won the Austria National Tourist Board's press trip called Stories Untold, where they took a load of journalists, and I'm going to copy Amy's joke from the last episode, and us, hey, banter. They took a load of journalists around the country, and we were able to choose like specific destinations that we went to with our group. We couldn't go everywhere in the country, but we were able to go to basically kind of three or four different places. And this is the trip that we chose. Like, we're going into detail now on our specific trip, aren't we, Amy?
We are indeed. Yeah, we chose to go into the mountains. We love adventure holidays. We think that's content that you guys want to listen to. So that's the one that we chose.
Yeah, there was one which was really tempting. It was about eating all this delicious food. And I thought that would be fantastic for me and Amy, but it doesn't make for a good podcast. So we did this for you guys.
Yeah, we put ourselves out there, guys. The itinerary was described to us like this. Zillertal, High Alpine Adventures. Let us whisk you away into a magical world, opening your eyes to natural wonders and making your heart beat a little faster. The Zillertal Alps High Mountain Nature Park, the Hintertux Glacier, and the Natural Ice Palace are the highlights that we will explore on foot, on skis, and by bike. We will learn about how a healthy balance between enjoying and preserving the glacier can be achieved, and how a high alpine wilderness can thrive as part of a bustling agricultural landscape. A sunrise hike will bathe all this alpine beauty in glorious sunlight on our last morning in Zillertal.
Whoa, that's now reminding me the sunrise hike. That's like the one thing we didn't do because we were so exhausted from having fun on the trip. But like that description, yeah, like hiking, skiing, ice caves, like biking. I was about to say footing, that's hiking. all this stuff, like we thought we couldn't resist that. That sounded so much fun. So to get to this part of Austria, in Zillertal, we got a train from Vienna to Jenbach, or as we would say in English, Jenbach. We were staying at Anu Dazumal Hotel and Spa, just this little village in the mountains. The place we were staying, we had our own little apartment, like kind of alpine feel, the main house where we'd have our meals. They had a really top quality spa facility. Do you remember sitting in the hot tub and you can see like the glacier in the distance, the mountain? It was a great spot.
Yeah, and there was like a clock tower in the distance, like you could see over the village.
The information's going to be in the show notes. You guys should check it out. That was a great spot to be. It was amazing.
Yeah, particularly if you're going as a family or a group of friends, it's like a luxury place to stay. You're looked after in the morning with breakfast. It's just, and we met the couple that run it and they were so lovely, and just it's like their life, you know, looking up almost how we have like B&B people in the UK. It's their job, it's their life, it's where they live. And yeah, really lovely couple.
Family run, really nice place.
Once we'd arrived, had dinner and slept, our tour guide Sigrid took us up the gondola to the Hintertux Glacier.
So we are on the Hintertux Glacier, and this is the only place in Austria where you can ski all year round. And we are enjoying the day in the mountains and on the slopes and on our skis.
Are we going to be doing any difficult runs today?
Absolutely, double black diamonds.
Oh, okay, that's easy, right?
Exactly, easy for you.
That's just the easy one for the beginners.
You. Exactly, that's the one for the beginners.
How high are we?
We are at an altitude of just over 3,000 meters. Yeah.
I was super impressed skiing on this glacier. So this time of the year, it was October, so it's not peak ski season. A lot of ski resorts won't be open at this point. Now, as Sigrid said earlier, this is a place where you can ski all year round. And I was thinking it was going to be like really good. Like it's great that you can ski any time of year, but I thought the glacier wouldn't be very big. So I thought maybe it might be like one or two ski runs. But I was wrong. It was like a proper ski resort with loads of different runs. You can be there all day and not do all the runs. So I was super, super impressed. Top marks for skiing on a glacier. And I've never skied in October before. Like I said, it's not peak ski time. So I thought that was brilliant.
We ended our day by going inside the glacier. So this was for an ice cave tour. If after this you are inspired to go and you end up going, I would recommend arriving to the tour at least 10 minutes early, because it's the entrance to it is right by a panoramic terrace, which is about 3,250 meters above sea level. So you get a really, really good view of all the mountains around you. Shocker. that's all you can see. And so where we checked in for the tour, it's like a 10-minute trek down to where you go in. And I say trek very lightly. Yeah. It's more of a slide. So I was wearing, like, at this point I'd taken the ski boots off. So I was wearing like Timberland boots, not sponsored.
No.
And like, you'd think they'd be grippy, but they really weren't. And I was falling all over the place. Like, imagine a 90-year-old woman on an ice rink. Like, that is actually what I look like. And yeah, it's because there's a rope that you can hold onto, but parts of it are semi-steep. But I mean, I wasn't the only one sliding down, but it actually took me, I don't know, like 20 minutes to get down there.
It was such an effort and an adventure just to get to the entrance to the glacier, wasn't it? The ice cave. Yeah, it was extreme.
So I think like my adrenaline was already sky high by the time I got in there. And when we got into the ice cave tour, because like, look, I'll be honest, we've done ice cave tours before. We've done cave tours with the stalagmites, stalactites, all that kind of stuff. And I feel like it's a bit, I'm going to sound really ignorant here. It's a bit like a temple in Asia. Once you've seen one, you've seen them all, right?
Seen one cave.
But honestly, this was different. So it was actually quite adventurous because you're going down ladders and you've got to like crawl through things. It was more, way more adventurous than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, and it's cool just thinking that you're inside a glacier. I think that's amazing.
When you go in, please, you go slowly. Huh? Ice is slippery. You have rubber mats under earth. You have ropes. Go slowly, please. I hope so you find the exit.
So moving through these little ice caves within the glacier is amazing and beautiful. You see like the equivalent of like stalagmites and stalactites, but I guess they're like icicles hanging from the ceiling, huge ones. It looks beautiful and amazing, a little bit claustrophobic, but it's okay.
We've just got to a pool of water that looks like it's got algae in it, but I haven't touched the water yet, so I'm going to try it. Apparently, Mike just said that it's cold, right?
It's cold. Let's see you. Let's
so,
see
you getting ready for an ice swim in Finland.
So Amy's putting her hand in the water.
Wow. Yeah, like that's instantly painful.
Yeah. It's strange. We come across these little puddles and bodies of water in the glacier.
Wow.
Surprised they're not frozen themselves. But yeah, I might as well feel it now. Holy shit, that's so cold. It's horrible. Look, Sahara sand. The brown, you can see like a kind of brown layer, or like browny yellow layer of ice, and that contains sand from the Sahara Desert.
No way. Because we know that it flies up over the world across to the Amazon, and that's why you get certain plants in the Amazon, because the sand falls.
Yeah, sand gets blown by the winds, doesn't it?
Oh, that's cold.
He's putting it on his face.
Oh, it's got algae in it.
It's got Sahara sand in it.
It's like the Sahara. I can taste the Sahara.
Where are you from?
I'm sorry, I've had worse things on my face. That sounded terrible. Slow down on that one, please.
Funny, because it's true.
Although we're up a mountain inside a glacier, we were told that we were going on a boat ride. How the hell is this possible? We were surprised to find like it was almost like a lake of water inside the glacier. So as you do, we got on board an inflatable dinghy.
The water temperature here is summer and the winter the same. -0.1 to -0.8. We have a world champion here. Name is Josef, and Josef go ice swimming here. And Josef has a record with one ice mile. One ice mile was 1,600 meters, and the body temperature goes to 28 degrees.
Oof.
One of the other journalists on the trip who knows all about skiing is this guy.
Hi, my name is Mike Mastarsian. I work for Snow Magazine out of Aspen, Colorado, and I am the associate fashion editor and World Cup and Golf editor for Snow Magazine.
Mike gave us his beginner's guide to skiing in Austria.
I think I've been here since 1998 on ski trips between 30 and 40 times, easily.
Very impressive. Okay, so
if you could run through, let's say, we'll start with your favorite place to come skiing in Austria. It might be a difficult question. Maybe you've got two or three favorites. Then I'll ask you, you know, what resort's best for friends or family or, you know, beginners, advanced. So yeah, let's start with a couple of your favorite ski resorts in Austria, please.
You are correct, sir. I do have a few favorites. Let's divide them up by, if you were coming here for the first time and you wanted a bit of a taste of Austria, other than just being in a resort where, you know, your focus is going to be entirely on skiing, I think for your first time in Austria, if you're a skier, do a ski safari. And a ski safari is something you can do out of Innsbruck. Innsbruck is a wonderful town. It's a student town. It has an old, they call it the Altstadt. It's the old part of town with medieval buildings and beautiful little shops, and there's museums. There's a little palace inside the town. I would stay there. In years past, they had a 5-day ski pass where you would ski the local areas, and there's quite a few local areas in Innsbruck. You would also ski a town called Kitzbühel, and then you would also get the chance to ski in another town called St. Anton. I don't think they have that pass anymore, but it's something that's easy to do on your own because there are direct trains from Innsbruck to Kitzbühel and Innsbruck to St. Anton. It's about a 1-hour train journey. It's very easy to do. You can buy your lift passes there. Near Innsbruck, there's also Kutai, which is an amazing ski area. If you go to Kutai, there's actually a hunting lodge that used to be the emperor's hunting lodge. It's called the Jagdschloss. I would go have lunch there and ski Kutai. There's a glacier maybe 40 minutes from Innsbruck that's very accessible through a local bus. All of these are accessible through local buses. That's the part of your ski pass called the Stubai Glacier. Fantastic. You can ski there too. What you do in the evening is you can go and enjoy Innsbruck. There's movie theaters. There's fantastic places that you can have beer and local food. There's one called the Stiftskeller. Stiftskeller. It's you're having schnitzel and beer under medieval arches. It's just so special. So that's what I would do for my first trip in Innsbruck. The other thing about Austria is it's excellent value. There are other places in Europe where you can go skiing, which are going to be much more expensive. The service in Austria is unbelievable. The people are really, really friendly. They're very service-oriented. You'll never get ripped off in a restaurant. The food will almost always be perfect. So it's a good value location for skiers. So now you've been to Innsbruck. You've done your ski safari. Now you want to try, you've maybe done a day trip to St. Anton. My second trip would probably be to St. Anton. St. Anton is the birthplace of modern skiing. It's about an hour and a little bit from Innsbruck. It's a very sporty mountain. Being Canadian, I kind of think of it as like a Whistler. The people who go there are very into skiing. There's some nightlife. There's a place called the Moservert, which is the mother of all Austrian wild, noisy après bars. But the people who ski in St. Anton are usually people that are sporty skiers. They just want to ski, ski, ski. There's a gondola you can take from St. Anton to a neighboring ski resort called Lek. That's where a lot of royals ski. It's very posh. The skiing is fantastic. It's more family oriented. The terrain is probably a little bit friendlier. The town itself is just, as you say, chocolate box, I think, or it's like a postcard village. It's just beautiful. That might be my second place. If you want to see a grand spectacle, you would go to Kitzbühel, which is also probably 70, 80 minutes from Innsbruck. Kitzbühel is slightly lower altitude, but it is, again, it's a medieval town. It's like an old walled town. It has the most famous downhill race in the world. And if you ask any World Cup racer, would you rather win an Olympic gold medal or would you want to be the Hahnenkamm Sieger, which means champion? Everyone will say Hahnenkamm. It's a very dangerous race. It's the ultimate ski race. And it's a great town.
Interesting. So you've given a lot of variety there, even some ones that are good for beginners as well. How about if you're someone who wants to go with a group of friends, you want to ski, but you also want to party and get laid in the evening, where would you recommend in Austria?
Oh, do I have a place for you? Okay, for all the people out there that love to go to Las Vegas or aspire to go to Las Vegas and want to have the Las Vegas experience on skis in Austria, ooh, there's a place called Ischgl. You want to go to Ischgl. Ischgl is the Vegas of Austrian ski towns. It's probably the Vegas of ski towns around the world. What happens in Ischgl stays in Ischgl. There is a very, very, very famous, probably the most notorious and famous ski bar in the world for shenanigans, for meeting people you might spend the evening with, if you know what I mean. And it's called the Kuhstall, cow stall. And basically, men and women in there are kind of like cattle, trying to get drunk and
make friends.
A Swiss friend of mine once said when he was a teenager, I guess maybe he was legal to drink. I think the drinking age for beer is 16. Anyways, he said they drove like, 8 hours to get there from Switzerland. We got there in the afternoon. He put his ski clothing on and his boots to pretend he'd already gone skiing, went to the bar, got hammered. And you're the one who said it, got laid that night too.
I think that's a really useful chat because, Amy, we know, because like obviously not everyone skis, right? And when you do try and book a ski holiday, it's confusing. There's so many options. So I think what Mike said there was really interesting. I enjoyed that.
I'm glad you did. I'd actually say my worst thing in travel in terms of planning and booking is booking a ski holiday. I couldn't think of anything worse. The amount of times I've tried to do it and it's just so confusing. You can only fly on a Saturday. If you want to do a week, you can't just go for a few days. Oh, you want to go for a few days? Well, you can't stay in a hotel then. You've got to stay here. It is an absolute nightmare. So that's why it's great that you guys are listening to this, because we're giving you all the tips. You know where to stay. You know what glacier to go to. You know what tours to do. We're making it easy for you. And all you have to do is message us on Instagram and say, "God, thanks, Nick and Amy. You're amazing."
And also, the links in our show notes, there's people there that can help you plan a ski trip. Because also, I'll add on to what you just said, Amy. You might find like the perfect chalet. It's like, oh, sick. We can get like 8 of our mates in this big chalet. There's jacuzzi. There's all this stuff. Oh, it's 20 miles away from the nearest ski lift. Why have an amazing chalet if there's nothing nearby to do? So yeah, planning a ski trip can be a nightmare. So reach out for some help.
Airbnb is quite bad for that. So like,
don't Airbnb for a ski trip.
Yeah, we've tried it and it didn't work. So yeah. Okay, let's stop moaning and move on. So we just spoke to one mic. We're going to talk to another one. This is a completely different mic, although they were both on the same tour with us, same group, like we went to the same area together. But this mic is different. He is who we played our game with. As we're recording now, we've already recorded this game with Mike, so we'll just segue into it as we play Aggressive German. That's professional, isn't it?
Hi, Mike. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Amy, Nick, so good to be here. Wonderful to connect with both of you again.
Who are you?
We had to get you on this episode because you are our travel buddy around Austria.
That is correct. And I still think about it and I dream of both of you often.
Good to know.
You keep saying like, oh, I really liked you guys. I think about you a lot. You're like texting us all the time. It's getting a bit creepy.
Good. At least I'm being consistent.
Introduce yourself. Like, so who are you? What do you do?
Absolutely. My name is Mike Scheibel. I'm the host of the podcast Travel With Meaning, interviewing extraordinary travelers to hear the travel stories that have impacted their life and their career. And been fortunate to meet Amy and Nick, as they mentioned, when we were in Austria, part of the Untold Stories series that Austrian Tourism put out. And really just excited to be joining you on your conversation today.
Sure. And before we get into the game, because I know you like your meaningful and deep questions, Mike, I would like to spring a question on you. So can you sum up Austria in 3 words for me, please?
3 words. Stunning, adventure, wellness.
Oh, it's like you rehearsed it. Well done.
Did I pass? Was that good?
I think you did. Pass the test.
So we have invited you here today to play a game with us. And I feel like we need to give a little bit of background to explain, because on the trip we had a bit of a, well, it's not a personal joke because it's all over Instagram and probably TikTok. But Nick, do you want to explain the video we kept referencing?
Yeah, the video we watched, 3 people, I think they're all Brazilian, but there's a person doing Portuguese words, English words, and then the third person is doing the German word. And the joke is that the Portuguese and the English word sound great, but the German one sounds terrifying. So we could do a quick example now, because I know Amy speaks Portuguese. Mike, you speak English.
Well, I was going to say, so Nick, you can do the English, I'll do the Portuguese, and then Mike can do the German. And this
I know which one.
It's the word that you know, Mike, so don't stress.
Okay, good.
Right. Amy, you start with Portuguese.
Babuleta.
Butterfly.
Schmetterling.
Very good.
Really good.
You keep sending us videos every time you see a real life Schmetterling.
No matter where I am in the world, I will chase it and yell Schmetterling, and everyone's looking at me. Except for the Germans, they're clapping.
So the idea of the game is I am going to read out a nice English word and then a bad one. But then I'm going to play you Google Translate the German word. The joke is, hopefully, they all sound bad, German words. But you guys have to decide whether you think it's a nice, cute word or a horrible word. Okay?
Okay.
And you're playing against each other.
And can I reiterate, we don't really mean bad words. We mean, like, the whole joke is that German sounds very aggressive to foreign people. But we really came to love the language when we were in Austria, didn't we?
Love the language, got nothing against it. It just sounds hilarious.
Right.
Okay, so if we are ready, round one. If some listeners are thinking, I still don't get it, you're going to soon get the idea. Round one. You have happy or angry. Those are your 2 options.
Glücklich. Glücklich.
Happy.
Ooh. Oh, this is difficult. I'm not sure, so I'll just go the opposite to make it interesting. Angry.
It's 1-0 to Mike. Go on, Mike. Well done.
Oh.
What was the answer, though?
That was happy.
Glücklich.
Glücklich.
Is that actually mean happy?
Yeah.
You got the point. Be happy.
Yeah, are you glücklich?
Yes, I have a rat. It sounds like you need a cream for that.
Okay, next round. Cuddle. So cute. Cuddle. Love it. Attack. Attack. Okay.
Cushion. Cushion.
I'm going to jump in and say I think that's cuddle just because it sounds similar to the word cuddle. It sounds like cushion, to be honest.
Yeah, it sounds like cushion. So I'm going to go the opposite because I think this is where they screw you because they want you to think it's nice really coming at you.
Okay, well, Amy's correct and Mike is wrong. So it's 1-1. That's what we want, a close game.
I've got the point.
So, Mike, do you like the occasional
cushion?
Yeah.
Big spoon or little spoon?
I just like spoons.
I knew you would answer that straight.
What do you mean?
Do you not know about big spoon, little spoon?
Oh, I know. Oh, I know.
Okay. I thought I'd have to give you a sex education lesson there.
Is that round three?
No, this is round three. Okay, next word. Puppy. Little cute puppy. Hello, puppy. The bad word. Dickhead. Dickhead.
Schwachkopf. Schwachkopf.
I've got a feeling that means dickhead.
I'm going to go dickhead too.
I swear it's spelt Schwarzkopf. You know the shampoo? That's how it looks.
Schwachkopf.
So Amy said dickhead.
And I said dickhead as well.
Oh, okay. You're both correct. That means it's 2-2.
Yes.
That's good.
Now, for reference, I believe in sign language, dickhead is...
Oh, really? Oh, see, like, I mean, that doesn't help on the podcast. Can you explain what you did there?
That's terrible for a podcast.
It's terrible. I'm a very visual person, so that's why I work so well in the podcast world. Well, no, I'm not going to explain it because it's visual, so I'm going to have to say your listeners are going to have to Google it. And also, there is a different dialect for sign language. That's an American sign language.
Yeah,
than
British,
in other
American.
Places. Yeah.
This is true.
So
this is true.
I don't want to say dickhead to someone in England, but it's actually saying, you know, butterfly.
Schmetterling.
Yeah, it could be saying Schmetterling. Exactly. Yeah.
Or puppy.
Or Schwarzkopf. Okay. <Yeah. laughs> The nice word is kiss. Kiss. The bad word is punch. or an Irish kiss. Punch.
Schlagen. Schlagen.
Sounds like you're calling someone a slag.
Slagen. So schlagen, is that a kiss or a punch? Do you think it sounds like a nice word or a bad word?
I think it's a punch because I'm pretty sure I've heard the word for kiss before, but maybe I'm wrong.
Ooh. I'm going to go kiss because I think you want to give me a little schlagen. You know, come on. Let's get a little schlagen on.
You're right. I do want to give you a schlagen because it means punch. You're wrong.
So
Amy's got 3. Mike's got 2. This is heating up now. We're getting towards the end.
Oh my goodness.
All right. Next, if you're ready. The nice word is like nanny, like babysitter, like Mary Poppins. Lovely. Nothing bad about Mary Poppins or a nanny, babysitter. The bad word is murderer. Although you do sometimes get nannies who are murderers as well.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's a Netflix documentary about that.
Yeah, we watched it. It haunted me. It was haunting. okay.
Murderin.
Oh, it sounds the same.
Murderin.
I'm going to go murderer.
I'm going murderer too. I'm going murderer.
Really? You think murderin means murderer?
I feel like you didn't check these before you did them, Nick.
What are you talking about? You saying this game is just thrown together? Unsurprisingly, you're both correct. That means Amy's got 4 and Mike's got 3. Now, Amy, we can always just do more if you want to, but Mike, this is the last question, so all you can hope for is a draw.
If there's a draw, we need a sudden death question.
So Mike needs to get
murder.
Excuse me?
I was trying to make up a German word. I don't know.
I thought you were coming down with something.
Yeah.
This is everyone's favourite word. What will save the world? Love. Love. Okay? The bad word, which is what all the world's problems come from. Hate. Hate.
Hassen.
Ooh, hassen.
Hassen.
Ooh, that's quite difficult.
Is that a nice word or is that a bad word?
I'm going to go with hate.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Oh!
You can say what you
want. She has a strategic move on her part.
Yeah, because that means I will. Well, no, that means it goes to sudden death. But I really believe that that means hate.
I hassen you.
Oh, he's trying to confuse us.
Ooh.
Okay, I'll change to love.
You want to change to love. It's your decision, yeah?
Final answer? Hold on, let me Google it first. I'm kidding.
Well, I guess you have to go different. Otherwise, all you can hope for is otherwise you'll lose. That's what I meant to say.
I'll lose. So leading with love here. I'm going to go with love. Amy, you're staying with hate?
Okay, I'll stick with the hate.
Okay. Amy wins 5-3. Diddle 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 dum.
How are you not going to bring the love, dude? How do you say love?
Yeah. Let's have a look. See what Google says.
Love. Liebe.
Liebe.
Oh, that's so true, because it's ich liebe dich means like I love you, doesn't it?
Ah.
Liebe.
I knew the word for love.
I did know that too.
Champion, so have we all learned something? Did we enjoy the game?
Yeah, German words are aggressive.
There we go. See, I feel like that game must have been very boring for German speakers. So we do apologize to you, but, you know, we're just appreciating your language.
Yeah, we do. We do have some German listeners. That would be so boring.
And I will say to the Germans, just so you know, we actually bonded because of all of you in the Schmetterling. So it is a pretty, you know, wonderful thing. It's, you know, the language could be a little aggressive, but, you know, we appreciate the bond that it created for us in the beautiful Schmetterling world.
It's like you were given the whole German language for feedback. You're like a little aggressive, but apart from that, you're doing a great job.
Keep going. Calm down now a little bit. Just be nice.
I do remember one of our tour guides, I kept asking him, I said, what does this mean? What's this in German? And he hated it. It wore really thin on him. And every time he gave me a translation, he tried to say it in a nice, calm way. And I was like, no, do the aggressive thing. Stop ruining it.
Do the aggressive thing.
Cool. All right. Before we say goodbye, do you want to tell us where people can listen to you more often?
Well, you can listen to me more often, whether you're on a walk, in the bathroom, wherever you need, just anywhere you get your podcasts, on all major streaming platforms, search Travel With Meaning, and then search What the Foe for our mutually combination of German games in the future.
Did you say combination?
Oh!
Now, moving on. During our time in Zillertal, we were able to hike as well as ski. The snow and ice at this time of year could only be found at the top on the glacier, which meant for perfect walking conditions. Not only were we enjoying the hike and the views, but thanks to our guide Sigrid, we were learning a lot too.
We found the bus stop.
Let's go down on the main road a little. Today we're going hiking in a nature park, which we access from Meierhofen.
Danke. What is that? Is it moss?
It is a lichen.
Yeah.
It's really, really old. It's like dinosaur area.
Oh yeah, you can see it's like all cracked.
Yeah.
It's like a lime green color, right? Like really bright color.
Yeah.
Die Flechten, wie entstehen die?
Ja. Has in hat sogenannte Landkarteflechte.
It's in between moss and algae.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
They live in the cracks of the rocks. So they're very old and live forever because they grow like 1 millimeter a year. People who research glaciers are actually that is a reading panel for them because the lichen they do not exist under ice. And if they, you know, go on a glacier and look at the glacier, they can tell if there are rocks that have it exposed. So how long has this rock been here and how long ago has the ice receded? And if there are rocks without any lichen, then they know, well, this is that the glacier receded only recently because there's nothing on it.
So where we're standing, this little platform thing is a moor or a swamp. It's not swampland, but it's marsh. So this is really like in the high Alps, it's like that plants that, I mean, it has a swampy quality to it, but it's, you wouldn't like drown in here, right? So you can't really sink. And it's super important because A, it stores water. And the other thing, which I wasn't aware of either, it also stores CO2, so carbon dioxide. So in a sense, it's an air filtration system. And with everything we're going now with climate change and carbon emissions, etc., the moors are very important to have in those high alpine regions, and they are all under protection now.
Die Feuchtigkeit, also wirklich das.
On the other hand, it's also a ticking time bomb because if there's not enough humidity, if there's not enough rain and not enough snow, and it dries out or gets really dry, then it releases the carbon dioxide.
Massive shout out to Sigrid as well. I know we say this all the time, but it's because we always have genuinely incredible guides. But we loved our guide, Sigrid. I think she gets the award for being the most chilled out guide ever. Like, I just feel like, well, she's a yoga teacher as well. So that kind of gives you an idea of what her personality is like. She's just so chilled, and if anything like didn't go to plan, she was just like, it's okay. Like, it, I think like in we said to her, you seem really chilled, and she was like, I'm not inside. But yeah, she just made it a really nice sociable group, and yeah, we had really nice chats at dinner. Yeah, just wanted to say a massive thanks to Sigrid.
All this hiking works up an appetite, and just as well, because for our last night in Zillertal, our guide, Sigrid, who we were just talking about, had an amazing traditional dinner planned in a local restaurant.
After that, you get a dessert, tiramisu, chocolate mousse, kirschmousse, and something like that. And after that, castanien.
And then the roasted chestnuts.
Wow.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shane.
We're ready.
Okay. Wow. Sorry for my English.
No, it was so good. It's really good.
Very good.
The courses kept on coming. We were absolutely
you said the word coming very aggressively then.
We were blown away by the variety and the amount. Like, this poor waitress, I just mean she had to work hard bringing out all the plates, and they were heavy as well. She was tiny, this girl, but so strong, because the plates were unbelievably heavy.
And do you remember one of my favorite moments, not just of the trip, but of my life, was we had loads of food left over, all sorts, including spare ribs. And we're at the train station the next day, off to our next destination, and we're having like a little picnic on the train platform. And Sigrid just reaches into like this bag of food, bearing in mind we're on a train platform. She just said, does anyone want a spare rib? And I just thought, I've never in my life at a train station heard someone say, anyone fancy a spare rib? Yes, I do. And I said, yes, I do. And I very much enjoyed it.
I can't remember who, but someone knocked them over. They were like resting on someone's suitcase.
Something fell over, yeah.
And they fell off, and sadly, all the food fell on the floor.
Oh, tragic. Okay, best moment to one of the worst moments of my life.
That was sad. We hate food waste, but I actually think someone ate it. It definitely wasn't me, but someone did.
Most people just like blow on it, didn't they? And then eat it. That's like, it's fine. Yeah, don't worry about it. But again, sticking with food, the whole time we're in Austria, we ate very well. Here's a little list for you guys. We've put this together just for you guys of some must-eat dishes if you ever visit the country. Now, let's have fun pronouncing some of these names. It doesn't start off too difficult. Amy, why don't you take us away?
Yeah, it sounds unprofessional when we don't, but we can't learn every single language for every single episode. But yeah, I'll give it a good shot. Wiener Schnitzel.
Oh, fine. That was bang on.
That means Viennese. I didn't know this. It means Viennese cutlet in German. And it is one of Austria's most traditional and representative dishes. So much so, in fact, that its definition is fiercely protected by Austrian law. It must be made of veal. When made with any other type of meat, it cannot technically be called Wiener Schnitzel. It's basically thin meat deep fried in breadcrumbs. And that's unfortunately why I can't have it, because have I told you, have I banged on about it enough? I'm gluten-free.
We get it. How about the next one? I think was a real favorite for like a lunchtime if you've been skiing. And it's just like, it's everything you want when you've been a bit cold outside and you just want to fill up. Grostel. This is bacon, onion, and potato all fried up. And like I said, it's a really good dish to fill you up, and great with a fried egg on top. Traditionally, this is a really good way of using up yesterday's leftovers. But you know, when you could even have that for breakfast, couldn't you? Like, fry up some leftover potato, bacon and onions, fried egg on top. Can't complain, can you?
Lovely.
Grostel.
Grostel. That's how you pronounce it.
Grostel.
Grostel. I sounded Scottish then.
Grostel.
It's Grostel.
All right. Grostel. I think that's right. Grostel.
That was my favorite, that one. Yeah.
That was great. Next one's easy for you.
Cured meats and cheeses.
Great. You pronounced that really well. Yeah, a lot of that in Austria. And give me the tough one. Kaiserschmarrn.
Oh, I feel like you did that quite well. I mean, locals might not. Kaiserschmarrn.
This was epic.
You explain it and I'll get it up on Google Translate.
Right. Fluffy shredded pancake. And it normally came in like a massive dish that you can share with everyone. So lots of like shredded up torn up pieces of pancake. It gets its name from the former Austrian emperor, Kaiser Franz Joseph I, who was very fond of this dish, made from a sweet batter using flour, egg, sugar, salt, and milk. Kaiserschmarrn is baked in butter, torn with forks, and served with stewed plums like a jam. It's delicious, but very bad for you.
Does anyone want to know that I couldn't try this one?
Amy couldn't try it.
This one I was actually quite upset. I haven't got much of a sweet tooth, but I was upset about this one. I would like to try that one day if possible.
Did you have chickpea flour instead? How about rice flour?
I'm not American.
Kaiserschmarrn.
I nailed it.
Yeah, you did all right. Kaiserschmarrn.
Kaiserschmarrn.
Kaiserschmarrn. Is that right? There you go.
So that's it for our little food segment. And Amy could only eat, I think, two of those.
Feel bad for me. I'm really not helping the gluten-free community here because I keep banging on about it. I'm kind of annoying myself, to be honest, so I'm going to shut up. Right, it's time to finish our Austrian adventure at the ski resort of Gurgel in the Ötztal Valley in Tyrol. And can I just, I've kind of got a bit of a pet peeve with this since I've been told by a few local people. By saying Ötztal Valley, you're saying Valley Valley.
Is it like Sahara Desert?
Yeah, like Sahara literally means desert. So by saying Sahara Desert, desert, desert. And it's the same thing here. So if a German or Austrian word ends in Tal, that means like Zillertal or Ötztal, that means it's a valley.
Wow. So the place is actually the Valley of Ots.
Yeah, effectively, yeah. So yeah, we keep calling it Ötztal Valley, but it's not. It's just Ötztal.
Well done.
Are you surprised?
Yeah, that's impressive.
So for context, where we're about to go in Gurgel, the place I've just explained, Ötztal, this was actually a completely different trip. So we came home from our big trip with the 40 journalists, and then we spent a few weeks here and luckily got invited back for a different ski trip, which was really exciting because we love skiing and we love Austria now. It's one of our new favorite countries. So we said, yes, we would love to.
Remember Anna from Language Lessons in Part 1?
Hey, my name is Anna and I'm the press manager of the Ötztal Valley.
She is going to explain the Valley of Ots. She's going to explain the Ötztal Valley to all of us.
Gurgel is the last part of the Ötztal Valley. So the Ötztal Valley is one of the longest side valleys in the Tyrol area. It's a part of Austria. And it starts in Ötz, like the valley starts in Ötz and ends in Gurgel. And Gurgel is the last part of the valley.
Whilst in Gurgel, we went all the way to the top to speak to the big dog.
Yes, my name is Alban Scheiber, coming from Hochgurgel in the Ötztal Valley from Tyrol, Austria. And I'm the CEO of the lift company of Hochgurgel and all the area there. We're running several restaurants as well, and some umbrella bars and so on, and also the road to Italy, the Timmelsjoch road, and I'm running with my brother as well a motorcycle museum and all these things, and also involved in the ski company of Obergurgel, and we got some sport jobs, ski school as well, everything around skiing actually.
Everything.
Time. A lot of companies.
Yeah.
And everything around skiing. Actually, that we started it. But even in summertime, we're also making our business, of course.
In terms of the winter and the skiing, who do you think it's best for? Is it best for families, for friends who want après ski? What sort of skier can go there?
I think it's absolutely for families, you know, and people who want to have a nice holidays, you know. We are not a destination before too much party, you know. There are other destinations, you know. If you want to have a really nice holidays with your wife, and have really good high quality gastronomical things, nice hotels and really good spas. We have very, very good hotels. So every hotel is very good equipped with spa areas and so on. We are directly on the slopes. You don't have to grab a bus or cars or something like that. So we also destination for families, of course, because it's an easy holiday in this case, because once you are there, you don't have to worry about anything. It's only have a nice holiday. We are the highest village of Austria and we're the highest ski region of Austria. And so we are, that's why the people really like. Of course, we are always snow secured. We are the most snow secured ski area in Europe. In the meantime, except the glaciers. Mm-hmm. And
sorry to interrupt, but what does that mean that you're most likely to have snow?
Yes, that's right. This is not because we're going telling you about the snow secured, but we're going to start at the middle of November till the end of April or beginning of May. And then we have about 165 skier days, and not one ski area can manage this like this.
How can people get to Gurgel, like transport?
Of course, we have several possibilities, but from Great Britain, of course, you have to come by plane. And the closest airport is Innsbruck, which is very easy to. In the meantime, especially in winter time, we got a lot of flights. And about the same is Zurich and Munich. Munich is a little bit closer. But of course, you can come also by train. There's a big railway station as well at the beginning of the valley. And then by bus, of course, it's very well organized, but yeah.
So you said you have a lot of British people that come to Gurgel to ski. Please tell me, do the British people behave themselves?
Absolutely, you won't believe. Okay. It's actually after the Germans is our most successful market. We get about 25% of the customers coming from Great Britain. We're very glad about it.
What would you say to someone who likes skiing, hiking, and motorbiking?
Then we are definitely the right destination. Of course. And motorcycling, we are right in the center of the Alps. You can use within 1 hour all the passes from South Tyrol, which are very popular, the Dolomites and the Northern Tyrolean, I think. So for motorcycling, it's also good.
And the motorbike museum.
Yeah, I was going to
say. Yeah, brother and me, we had nothing to do in the summer time. You know, we only had 2 kids, you know, and our father said, okay, it's getting really boring. So he gave us a motorcycle already with 5 years, can you imagine? And with 6 years, we had already a motocross bike where we can use the whole mountain. There was no police around.
At 6 years old?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's why we love the motorcycle so much. And as we get a little bit older, you know, we collect in some motorcycles. And all of a sudden, my brother said, he was driving to Germany and he was ringing me up and says, Alban, don't you want to buy with me a motorcycle museum? Oh, there are so many cans. He didn't even tell me, you know. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, it's not that much expensive, let's buy it. And so from this point, we talked about to make a motorcycle museum, because we're also running the road, which is very popular for the motorcycles, you see. We got very, very successful. I think we're one of the most popular museums in Austria in the meantime.
Wow.
Yeah. We got sometimes more than 1,000 people visiting us a day. Yeah.
A day?
Wow. Yeah, it's really, really popular.
Final question from me. In Austria, are you famous?
Brother, me, we are actually very famous.
Yes.
Because of other things which I don't want to tell you.
Maybe that will be after the recording.
I'm going to do some research. Google.
Yeah.
He said he's famous, but for a reason he doesn't want to tell us. What are our guesses? I'm going with... Actually, I'll probably say something offensive, so I won't.
Yeah. I was like looking at you like, Nick, shut up, shut up.
All right, we'll leave this in, shall we? That's funny. But I really like the way he described like Gurgel, the ski resort, who it's for, because I know some people can be like, oh, everyone's welcome. But it's actually very helpful when you're booking a ski trip to know, what is this good for? Is it good for nightlife, families, or whatever? And the way he summarized it was great, I think. It's a classy place, perfect for families who want a nice ski holiday. But when we were there, Amy, do you remember one night we met a group of lads, a group of boys from Essex in England, where we were originally from, and they've been going there to Gurgel every year for the last 20 years. Amazing.
Yeah, 20 years of skiing, like that's impressive. I've only been skiing a few times, and I say that because about to tell you. Yeah, I'm going to tell you that I might not be the best skier in the world. I enjoy it. Sometimes I get a bit scared. But my technique, I mean, the first time I ever skied, I was in my early 20s, I think. So, you know, I'm not going to be a natural with this sort of thing. And the reason I say that is because on this trip we had, I'm not going to name him, but we
protecting his identity.
I'm going to protect him, even though he didn't protect me. We had this ski guide. I'm joking, really, but like this did really happen. We had this ski guide who was kind of showing us around the mountain, the best parts of it. And I was definitely like, so this group that we were with was about five people, I think five journalists. And without a doubt, I was the worst skier. Like some of these journalists are full-time like ski journalists, sports journalists. I was the least advanced. And so he stuck back with me because everyone else skied off. And so me, Nick, and this guide, we were skiing together. And then when we got on the gondola, he just started laughing and said, oh, my friend calls skiers like this, and I think you ski like this. You ski like a lazy dog. And I was like, what does that mean?
He gets your name wrong. He goes, Jamie, you ski like a lazy dog.
And I was like, what does that even mean? Dogs have four legs. I'm not on all fours trying to go down on the skis. So I'm very...
It could have been really helpful advice that was just lost in translation.
It could have been, yeah. But I feel like it's fair to say me and him are not going to be best friends from this point. And I feel like there was other things that he did as well. I think he was just very frustrated with me, but I tried my best and that's all I can do.
And sometimes when someone is talking another language, which again, like it's amazing anyone can teach someone something in a different language, but I think things can come across quite direct. It's like, you're the worst one, right? Yeah, you're the worst. Okay, you're the worst one, right? You stick with me.
That's it. That's the other thing that happened. Like before we'd even skied.
Who here sucks? Oh, you? Okay.
Before we'd even skied, we were going out with our ski equipment in the big gondola. And he just pointed at me and went, so you're the worst one, are you? Yes. But no, it was one of those things. It was so direct, like it actually just made me laugh. Like I didn't get upset by it. I just thought, like, this is just so funny. I didn't go home and cry about it, I promise.
But what we can agree on, what a great place to ski. Loved it.
Yeah,
it was
I really love Gurgel. And I'll be honest, like I hadn't heard much about Gurgel, but since coming home and talking to other people that we know about it, actually loads of people have heard of Gurgel and or they've skied there. It's a very big place, very well known, and yeah, brilliant place to ski. Even if you ski like a lazy dog.
Like a lazy dog. Yeah, we've heard a few people say, oh, you've been to Gurgel, have you? Well, yes, we have. Does that impress
That's
you?
That's the way we roll. And finally, before we move on to like the summer side of this destination, I just wanted to say we stayed in Hotel Edelweiss and Gurgel. Edelweiss is spelled Edelweiss. Again, we'll put it in the show notes. Beautiful, absolutely stunning luxury hotel. But the best part of it is that it's right at the ski lift. So like you barely leave the door and you're at the gondola, and they have their own ski rental shop as well.
And that's normally a stressful experience on a ski trip, but it was the nicest ski rental shop ever. And everything was just easy and we were just very comfortable, lots of space for everyone. That's the thing that stood out for me. Nice ski rental shop.
And it didn't have that ski rental shop smell because it was brand new when we went there. It's brand new. So
maybe now it does.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Get there quick, basically. Go there quickly before you get the feet ski boot smell. But yeah, beautiful interiors. Like I was just walking around with like my jaw on the floor. I was just walking around taking pictures of the whole hotel because the interiors were just stunning. We were there at, around Christmas time,
weren't we? Yeah.
Yeah, we were around Christmas time. So yeah, lots of Christmas decorations and yeah, it was beautiful. So I'd recommend staying there.
Good spa and pool. Again, we love a spa in Austria. Now, if you're thinking that this is a winter-only destination, then you're a bloody fool. Back to Anna.
I would say, like, in summer, it's really great as well. Of course, like, we are famous for skiing, but not only skiing, like, we have also, like, winter walking or tobogganing or, like, some different activities in winter as well. But summer is great, really, really great as well. And you can do a lot of activities in summer. For example, you can do hiking or biking, and there you're not doing all, like, it's possible to mountain bike, but also e-bike. There are different possibilities. We have a lot of art exhibitions or different exhibitions and events in Google, in the new Congress Center, which is named Google Karat. You can do also incentives there and so on. And then we have also a museum for motorcycles. It's really famous because it's on such a high altitude. Mm-hmm. And we have over 500 exhibits there and really old motorcycles, old cars.
If you're growing up in this part of Austria, what do you do first? Do you ski or do you walk?
That's a hard question, actually. I would say ski. No, I'm joking.
Yeah, but like as a baby, as a young child, what is the first thing you do? Do you learn to walk or do you learn to ski?
No, it's walking. Okay. But you start in really early ages, like when you're really young. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any friends or family who don't ski?
No.
Wow, really?
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. God, what does that feel like, Nick? We're always trying to find English friends who can ski.
Oh.
No one can ski.
Yeah, in England, a small percentage of people ski. Yeah. Or me and Amy want to go on a ski holiday with friends, but we don't have
any friends.
We don't have any friends. We don't have friends who ski.
I don't think you don't have friends.
We just don't.
I don't believe you.
We need to get more friends like Anna, people who can ski.
What about someone that's listening right now?
Oh, yeah.
Will you be our ski friends? Send us a message.
Can we be friends?
Great. Get in touch if you want to go on a ski trip with us, even though we don't know who you are. It'd be fun. Strangers are just friends you don't know. What is it? Strangers are just friends you haven't met yet.
That's it.
Speaking of that's it.
That's it for this episode. What an epic adventure across Austria, a country right on our doorstep that Nick and I have wanted to visit for so many years, and it just didn't happen for one reason or another. But I'm so glad we've now been, and it is definitely in the top two or three for me in Europe, I'd say.
Oh yeah, I mean, I can't believe I'm 34 now. I can't believe it's taken me that, you know, that long to go to Austria for the first time, twice in a year, like we said, with this episode, two trips. Making up for lost time, yeah, like you said, it's on our doorstep, it's so close by. What a gem. Really enjoyed Austria, and I look forward to more trips in the future.
And, you know, if a few of you get in touch about being our ski friends,
let's go back.
we can all ski in Gurgel or Zillertal together. Maybe we could do a What the Faux trip. So definitely get in touch. If that's something you're serious about, then get in touch with us.
Oh, interesting. Well, before we sign off, yeah, just thanks to the Austria Tourist Board for making this possible. Like, without their help, there's no podcast. There's nothing interesting for you guys to listen to, as well as all the local tourist boards that helped out as well. I know it was a joint effort with, like, the tourist board in Vienna, Seefeld, Zillertal, Gurgel, and there were more because we didn't get to go to every region. So it's a hell of an operation. And you guys put on a hell of a show.
They really did. And just a massive thank you to Martina as well for agreeing to work with us in the first place. So yeah, we really love it. And yeah, like we said, this content wouldn't be able to come to you guys if we didn't make relationships like this. So we're really happy with it. We hope you are too.
Martina, she's banter. She's like this Austrian lady who lives in London. She's got like a season ticket for Arsenal, goes home and away. She's like a proper football hooligan. It's like someone you wouldn't expect. Okay, she's not a hooligan, I'm joking. But I just thought it's hilarious. She's a proper hardcore Arsenal fan, just this woman from Austria. But yeah, really nice to meet you, Martina, Sigrid, everyone who's involved with the trip, everyone, all the other journalists who were in our group. We had such a good time. It was brilliant.
Wow.
But how does the city smell? I also don't have daddy issues.
Fantastic. Congratulations on that, Nick.
He said, oh, you know, come into the steam room. And I thought, this is interesting. Okay, I'll embrace this.
This is the only place in Austria where you can ski all year round.
As we play aggressive German. That's professional, isn't it?
Cuddle. So cute. Cuddle. Love it. Attack. Attack.
Right, the next episode for What the Faux Travel Podcast is Helsinki.
Ah, bring it on. We'll see you guys there.
Bye.
Auf Wiedersehen. Before we wrap this up, we've got a question for you.
Is your boy Tarquin going on a gap year?
Is your gal pal Rachel off to eat, pray, love herself silly?
Then the best way to support this show is to share it with all your travel buddies.
Thanks, bye!